Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Today's episode of The Main Course has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Hello, I'm Patrick Martins. This is a live edition of The Main Course. It's Sunday. We're broadcasting out of Roberta's restaurant, 261 Moore Street. Hello, Jack.
Where have you been, man?
I was married to Ann Saxelby. Thank you. Good to know the sound effect board is still in use.
Yeah.
And then I went on a two-week trip with Ann to Costa Rica. So, any macaw sounds or anything like that?
Oh,
or
do we get rid of? I think I'm fresh out of those.
So, did you have fun at the wedding, Jack?
I was at the wedding. It was awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me there. I spent the whole week with Aaron Fairbanks of Heritage and Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy and Mixologist of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that was real special. And did you talk to people outside your group? And did you feel there was good energy there?
Incredible energy, yeah. Especially at the wedding. I mean, there were... My favorite moment of the wedding was, you had that Cuban, was it Cuban music?
Yeah,
that Cuban band playing and everybody having the time of their lives. And I kind of looked over and saw Arun, who you've worked with for years, mm-hmm. there with her husband. And they just looked so happy and that it was great energy.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, yeah. Costa Rica was amazing. San Jose, its big capital, has an amazing central market. There are about 30 sodas, or, that's their word for diners in the market.
And soda?
Yeah, it's a soda. And all throughout the countryside, the only thing you really see advertised, there's no McDonald's or Burger King's, it's just sodas. Sodas are their basic word for diner. So at first we thought Costa Ricans were the most obese people on the planet, that they were just drinking way too much soda pop. But it turns out that... it's just their name for little diners, and they serve, different foods in very tiny spaces. The most full stall of this amazing central market was an ice cream place that was founded in 1901. And the funny thing about it, it only serves one flavor of ice cream, this kind of cinnamon flavor. It was absolutely delicious. But I love that a place can be so successful and just sell one kind of ice cream. Not and really. People come there every day for a taste. One day is basically all you need in San Jose. Mm. Even though it's a very nice town and the people are very, very nice. We ate at this shop and also a restaurant called Kalu. We really loved it. Then we spent 1 week, 3 hours north of San Jose in Arenal, which is a volcano. And there we canopied over the rainforest canopy, amongst other things. And it actually scared the hell out of me. But it was hilarious because a men's center of gravity is in their upper body. And a woman's center of gravity is in the hips. So the way ziplining over the forest canopy works, it actually turned out that the 60-year-old Omaha ladies were practically like breaking the sound barrier as they were whizzing over the trees. And they'd come crashing into the landing platform going like 10 times as fast as anyone else.
Were you the slowest?
No, but I wasn't the fastest. I mean, these women were literally going so fast. It was like stressful every time they came flying into the landing zone. But... there was a couple guys actually that didn't make it, and they had to go get fished back by one of the locals. We also white water rafted, which was amazing. And our tour guide, he's actually the owner of the tour agency. It's called Costa Rican Descents. He's going to be on the show in a few minutes to talk all about Costa Rica, which I'm really excited about. Then we drove down the Pan American Highway to the southern tip of Costa Rica in the Osa Peninsula. That place was literally gushing with wildlife. It's right in the, I guess it borders, it's a bay, but, it's like the Pacific Ocean, basically. It's on the west side. It's not on the Caribbean side. You cannot sleep there for an hour without being woken up by cicadas or howler monkeys or, a tapir digging under your hotel room. I mean, it's louder than any city I've ever been to, but it's real primary rainforest. Primary rainforest is what's never been touched. Secondary rainforest is rainforest where people had built farms but then left the farms, and then the rainforest grows back. It takes about 30 years for secondary rainforest to really look like primary rainforest. You know, trees grow super fast. Yeah, in 30 years, you have 50-foot trees. It's these certain kind of trees. But those many of those varieties actually die out, and then the primary rainforest starts coming in. You know, they coexist, but it takes 500 years for primary rainforest to, you know, become primary again. So it's a long time, but they were really we sat under a tree that had like 30 macaws in it, or, you know, I say 30, it was probably 15 macaws, which are these, you know, colorful parrot birds that actually can bite your finger off with their beak. They're monogamous. So, you know, it's actually very sad when one dies. You know, the other usually dies, you know, a few months afterwards out of depression.
Oh, man.
But they are in need of a serious attitude adjustments. They are the loudest birds ever. We saw toucans, which they look real sweet, and they're used on breakfast cereals, but they can actually saw your hand off with their beak.
Excellent.
And somehow when they are getting into a fight with the human, I guess when they get attacked or something like that, they go right for the human's eyes.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a very, very scary. You have to be very, very careful there. We saw, you know, we didn't actually see, you know, we heard of pumas. You know, we saw a lot, tons of pictures there. It's a big religious symbol for a lot of the, you know, indigenous people there. But pumas are very rare, and most of our tour guides had never seen one. Jaguars are even rarer. They exist mostly to the south and to the west. We saw an armadillo, which is very rare, 9-banded armadillo. But the favorite animal we were looking for, which we never saw, was the tapir. It's kind of like a wild pig, and it's the biggest animal in Central America that's not a cat. But we never saw it. My goal was actually to see a jaguar killing a tapir, but we didn't see that. The most fascinating, I mean, we saw hunchback whales, white-nosed dolphins, but by far and away, the most fascinating animal was the sloth. They used to be giant sloths, and they were like giraffes. I mean, they could climb up trees, you know, climb up high heights and eat leaves off branches. But the sloth was the most amazing animal that we saw down there. It eats only plants. So it's the slowest creature ever. It has just the slowest metabolism. That's why I call you a sloth, Jack, sometimes, by the way, now that you know. No, just kidding.
Thanks.
It pees and poops once a week. And it's not even pooping what it ate the week before. It's pooping what it ate like 3 or 4 weeks before. The sloth eats a consistent diet of 23 plants, which it eats consecutively. Many of them are toxic, and so it's important that it keep that order, because the next plant it eats after the toxic one can offset the toxic effects. It eats it in order, and it learns this order from its mother. And if I understand correctly, every sloth family is different and has a different order, but they all eat 23 plants. When it finally climbs down to relieve itself, a few hundred fleas and ticks and these weird organisms that live full time on its back get off. They fertilize the poop, which is good for the soil, but also gives them, I guess, certain nutrients that they need. He waits for them. They climb back onto his back for the slow ride up for the next week. So basically, the sloth is a walking cesspool. So every animal knows not to touch it, even though it's completely 100% defenseless. I mean, so fascinating. You know, I really recommend it. You fly to San Jose and then go down to Puerto Jimenez, and you can literally be alone on beaches with primary rainforest coming right up to it. You know, alone for a whole day.
Crazy.
Very, very, of course, beautiful birds. We're not bird watchers, but we met a very fascinating Englishman while we were down there, who is also going to be on the show later to talk about bird watching.
Oh, cool.
He's a very adamant bird watcher. He also, you know, intersects a little bit with birds, because he is a groundskeeper for military bases in England. So he has a certain region of England, which is his, to manicure the wedding, military bases. And obviously, you don't want that many birds living on military bases, because planes are going in and out and they can get in the engine. So, you know, part of his requirements involve keeping birds away. So maybe that's why he's so interested in them. Anyway,
sounds awesome though.
2 hours from Miami, you have primary rainforest. It's pretty amazing. So, Jack, how were things while I was gone? Did you enjoy time away from me?
It was sad, man.
Sad.
Sundays were sad.
Well, I know, but geez, we have the saxophonist for the Rolling Stones coming on in, for the Mike and Judy show.
No, actually, you know, to be honest, a lot of cool things have been going on, and I'm sure we'll get into it next week as far as the station goes. Pretty much the most exciting time in our history right
now. Because we got five.
Yeah, let's say it.
One, do you know the next
C3
status?
Yeah.
We're officially a non-profit organization.
We are.
Meaning the U.S. government has deemed us an organization that serves a social good.
That's right.
To the point that we can be, Heritage Radio, exempt from having to pay taxes.
That's because I'm so nice to people.
You are very nice to people. I mean, did you have a lot of interactions with those government officials in Washington that okayed our...
Yeah, you know, I gave them the marg and the bib, and that sealed the deal.
Yeah, exactly. We really want to thank Joanne Fleming. Flash Fleming has a show called Flash Talks Cash. It's on Thursdays at 4:30, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And she, you know, pro bono. She does a lot of work for Occupy Wall Street, you know, so she's into, you know, leaving the world a better place than when she found it. And she pro bono helped submit our application. Yeah. And year later, I mean, it took them a while because you can't just log onto our website and be positive that it's, you know, serving a social good. You really have to listen to a lot of the shows.
Well, you know, most people that try to get nonprofit status, they fail numerous times before they succeed. And,
exactly.
You know, this was our first try and we got it.
And the good news is our listeners can now make tax-deductible donations to us just like they would all those other great organizations out there like Heifer International and Just Food and the Sierra Club. So we are right there with them. Broadcasting all the amazing things that are happening in the sustainable world. So, well, thanks for watching everything so skillfully, Jack, while I was gone. And I'm really excited about today's show. After our commercial break, we're calling Costa Rica. We're going to call Alberto, the owner of Costa Rican Descents. Oh, nice song, Jack.
Has been sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. At Hearst Ranch, ranch manager Cliff Garrison describes their philosophy. Raising cattle on grass is both an ancient practice and one that is standard in much of the modern world. Sometimes the old ways are the right ways. We believe that our methodology is the right one for us. For more information on their premium grass-fed beef, visit HearstRanch.com. Through the jungle, through the dark, girl, I never loved one like you.
Let me go.
Alexander.
Do you remember that day you fell out of my window?
I sure do. You came jumping out after me.
Well, you fell off the concrete, nearly broke your ass, and you were bleeding all over the place, and I rushed you off to the hospital. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's something I never told you about that night.
What did you tell me?
While you were sitting in the back seat smoking a cigarette you thought was gonna be your last, I was falling deep, deeply in love with you.
We have Jeff Davies on the phone. Jeff, you with us from England?
Yeah, we are. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Thanks so much for being on. It was great taking that boat tour with you and walking around the forest with you and watching you watch birds. So, you know, I wanted to have you on today and ask you a few questions. Like, what bird were you most on the lookout for and why?
Right. Well, as I say, it's nice to talk to you again. And didn't we see some really good birds out there? I think the obviously the scarlet macaws, which I think I heard you mention earlier on in your program, were actually fantastic. Bit noisy. But I think the main bird that I went out there to try and photograph was a bird called the resplendent quetzal.
The resplendent quetzal.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, about the same size as the macaw, slightly smaller, beautiful emerald and ruby coloured. Fantastic long tail. And it's a kind of a, I think, I don't know whether there's connections with the Mayans or whatever, but it's a beautiful bird and only found in that limited Central America belt. So I got some good photographs. It's a beautiful bird.
So you did see it. That's good.
Yeah, now, I photographed it too.
As a bird watcher, what does Costa Rica and Central America, what kind of birds do they offer that other countries do not?
Well, I mean, obviously, you've got everything. You've got pretty a hell of a lot of birds that travel from North to South America. But if you actually think, you can actually see around about 800 or 900 birds in Costa Rica. There are only about 9,000 in the world. So you can actually see 10% of the bird population moving through or based in Costa Rica. So it's a small country, as you saw, and good place to stay, easy to get to, and loads of difficult habitats. So it makes it a good place to go and watch birds. And I say, they're all very colorful as well.
Now, if how did you get into bird watching at first?
Well, basically, I've been a gardener all my life, interested in flora and fauna, wildflowers and stuff. And I think it's really looking at biodiversity. I think everything links together. You see a bird feeding on a flower or eating leaves or eating insects. And I just tend to link things together. And I'm not just interested in birds. Obviously, I like butterflies, dragonflies, animals as well. But birds are kind of easy and they're always there. Huh. And, you know, one thing just followed on to another, really.
So now you've been to Costa Rica. Was this your first time or you'd been there others as well?
No. This is our first time to Costa Rica, but we've been to Belize and we've been to the Caribbean, Trinidad, Tobago as well. And it's certainly probably one of the better of the places that we've been to.
So tell us about if you were interested in bird watching. You know, where would you recommend people go in Costa Rica? But also, what would be your top picks around the world?
I mean, I think we only spent time on the Pacific coast and the mountains when we went this time. And I mean, the Saavedra Lodge in the mountains was a great place where we stayed first. Pisquita, must mention that, near the Panama border, near Pavones. Beautiful, intimate site, well worth going, lovely people, good secondary forest, which I heard you talking about earlier. And because, as we know, Laparios have a lot to offer as well.
Yes, for sure. What were the names of the first two lodges you mentioned?
The Saavedra, which is about Saavedra Mountain Lodge, which is about 2 hours south of San Jose, up in the mountains. That's where the quetzal is. The resplendent quetzal's found. Pisquita is a beautiful small eco lodge near the Panama border, which is the place we came to before La Paz. Lovely place, secondary and primary forest. Beautiful birds, you're right in the middle of it. Very, very simple place, but lovely people, good guides. And as you know, Lapis did the rest, really.
Yeah, and now what is your favorite? I mean, where else in the world would you recommend for people who love birds but never, you know, really followed that lead for vacation and tourism. What other states has amazed?
I mean, I can only really sort of mention places that we've been, and you know, we've got obviously a lot of places to go as well for birds and all sorts of wildlife. But I mean, one of our favourite places is South Africa. It's a biodiversity of its own. It's got a flora kingdom of its own. You've obviously got safari there. You've got interesting deserts. You've got interesting jungle. It's got a hell of a mixture of habitat, and it's a lovely place to visit.
And I remember you saying to me that they keep the parks very well there. So they tend the parks very well.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a very high conservation ethic. In fact, it's very similar to Costa Rica. I think they ought to. I mean, both the countries ought to be very, very proud of themselves and their heritage. They really do look after their wildlife.
Now, bird watchers have always been an interesting bunch to me and Anne. Would you go so far as to say there's certain personality traits that go across bird watcher nation?
It all depends. I mean, I think like everything else, every other hobby, there are people that take it very, very seriously. There are people that take different slants on it. I think those that like to have bird lists and stuff and keep records tend to be very singular, very dedicated, and that's really all they do. They often haven't got a lot of interest in anything else. That's not the way I look at it. And as I said earlier on, I spend a lot of time doing conservation work back in the UK, mm-hmm. and for me to get an opportunity like to go to Costa Rica and see something as a holiday is a relief. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no,
I don't think there's necessarily a trait. I just think there's always a passion there.
Yeah, there is a passion. So I mean, they're talking about what you just brought up. I mean, you do work very closely with nature. You know, you tend fields and military bases. So I wanted to ask, you know, could you explain that work? Like, what region do you work in? What tools do you use?
Yeah, I think. Funnily enough, I think we need to be a little bit cautious of what I say, really, on some of the stuff that's at the moment. But yeah, I mean, we do look after a lot of commercial grounds and gardening military bases, and we also look after local authorities and also some blue chip companies. And basically, we look after the grounds, the sports pitches. We look after airfields. We use big tractors to cut these. We look after commercial airfields as well. We tend to do a whole run through the, you know, through UK as a private contractor.
Very, very interesting. And now you also work as a hobby, which is also why I wanted to have you on radio, to explain this fascinating English system of allotments, which is kind of a community garden, you know, to use a couple words to describe it. But it's a lot more than that, and it's quite complicated. So can you explain to our American listeners how the system of allotment works?
Yeah, sure. I'll try and make it as short as possible. Basically,
take your time.
An allotment is can be anywhere between half and an acre, and if not a bit bigger. You then get a load of these are then split into maybe 5, 10, or 15, or even 20 subplots. And these are all taken up by families or pensioners or young anybody. Anybody can take them up. They're generally owned by town councils or churches on church land or on private land. And costs vary. I mean, for instance, our one here that we have in our village costs us about $100 a year, not each. That's between about 20 people. So it's pennies. There's not a lot there. And we pay that every year. And we basically, some of them supply you with water. They put fences around them, stop the rabbits and stop the birds getting in, the ones we don't want to see. And basically, people do it as a hobby. I mean, you generally don't really make a great deal of money by doing it. It's enjoyment. It's eating fresh veg, fresh organic veg. And it's social, too. There's people meet. We have barbecues on them. It's really good fun.
So now, how is the system to get one? I mean, do people bid? I mean, yours was owned by a man or a church or something? I mean, how?
It's by the church, yeah. Ours is owned by the diocese, by the church. And basically, I'm the coordinator. I actually collect the money for it, and I liaise with the church to make sure that we look after it and keep it tidy and stop the weeds growing, and we use it. But we have a waiting list on our in fact, most allotments now have got maybe 1 or 2 years worth of waiting list. It's very, very popular.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Well, very interesting. We should really be covering, these creative ways and organized ways of maximizing the potential of the land and keeping people energized and focused and growing their own food.
Yeah.
I mean, even though you don't save money, it's still a pretty awesome, enterprise. Well, I mean, before you go, I mean, I'm going to ask you to do a certain imitation, which you do very well. But just Jeff and Louise, we spent this day. How amazing was that, being on the open waters there and seeing the dolphins and the whales and the turtles? And I mean,
brilliant.
Just unbelievable, right?
Well, as I said in my email, we had a whale of a time, didn't we?
We definitely did have a whale, and we dove right in with the dolphins and scuba dived.
It gave us all a sense of purpose, didn't it?
Yeah. A sense of purpose or tortoise? Which did you say?
Porpoise.
Porpoise, yes. Oh, my God. So, if you could, first of all, thank you so, so much for giving us some time all the way in England.
No problem.
Can you take us to a commercial break in a certain voice that I'll let our listeners guess?
He's with me now, actually.
Oh.
Shall I go?
Yes, you go. Take us to commercial break to our sponsor.
Hello. My name is Michael Caine. Do you know it takes a man in a tweed suit 5.5 seconds to drop from the top of Big Ben to the ground? Now, not many people know that. See you, America. See you soon.
See you soon. We are about to go to break, and Hearst Ranch is our sponsor. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Hey, we got to plan as well. Bye.
All right. Well, that was fun. I really like Jeff and Louise's wife. Well, we are having trouble reaching Alberto, which is too bad because. But I'm going to read the questions anyway and give my answer to them. You know, contextualize where Arenal is in relation to the rest of Costa Rica. You know, it's just north of San Jose, kind of up in the mountains. And it's right under a volcano, which still erupts periodically. I think the last time it erupted was in like 1998. And then I think in like 1991, it was like a serious eruption. But all these different people have carved out a little niche in this volcano. To do basically eco-tourism and adventure tourism, whitewater rafting, things like that. We had an amazing time. He did talk about one thing, Alberto. The government now has sponsored all these dams, and those dams basically hold up the water from flowing down the rivers, and that is actually bad for a lot of types of animals and also bad for people who are trying to raise money through tourism. I hope that the government deals with that issue, but for people who are interested in those kinds of things, I mean, there's definite tension there. Alberto also started an organic farm in relation to his tourism adventures. So, they keep all these different Central American plants going and they cook food for students. There's a big educational component. So Costa Rican descent, even though he's not the most organized phone guy, he's very organized with running Costa Rica descent. And as any tour you take with him, you will visit this farm. And it's actually very, very touching. They know all about Carlo Petrini and the slow food movement. And they raise all these different types of pigs and cattle and fruits and vegetables and cocoa and chocolate, you know, just to kind of show people what it's like, you know, who are coming there from other places.
I have a caller on line one, and it's Alberto.
It's Alberto. Alberto!
Hey. Frank, how are you?
Hey, buddy, how are you? Well, I'm happy we got you. So thanks for being on today.
Good, pretty good, man. How's everything going so far?
Very good. Well, much better now. So tell me, where place Arenal in relation to the rest of Costa Rica? Tell us exactly where Arenal is.
Okay, Arenal is in the northwest side of Costa Rica, you know. It's like an hour and a half from Alajuela. You know, it's Alajuela is the province, you know, of Fortuna, you know what I mean, San Carlos. And, yeah, it's a beautiful town, you know, and we have, right there we have the Arenal volcano, you know, in town.
When was the last time it erupted?
Okay, the last time, the biggest eruption we have there, that was in 1968, yeah, in Arenal town. That was in Arenal. Yeah, no Fortuna. It's a little town. It used to call Arenal, and right now the town is underwater, you know, because they make a big big dam called Arenal Lake. Huh. Yes, but the volcano still in action. You know what I mean? He just doesn't throw lava for right now. Last time we saw lava in town, that was 12 months ago.
Interesting. Now, tell us about your organic farm. I find it absolutely fascinating that you have added this to your list of things to do. Tell us about the history of the farm and its mission.
Yeah, the mission about the farm is like to show people how to grow organic. You mean how to take care about, you know, about the environment, you know, in Costa Rica. And we like, you know, take care about the rivers and take care about everything. And the main thing about us is to take people there and show a little bit our culture and share our culture with them, you know. And we've been working in the farm, you know, the farm will be for 8 years and 7 months so far. And that means everything, 75% there, you know, with everybody go out there and eat, 75% is coming from there, from the farm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
La Finca Don Juan.
What are some of the more unusual plants and vegetables that you grow there for your education and for your food?
Okay, we'll get there like lettuce and tomatoes, and we'll get like pineapple, you know what I mean? We'll get carrots, you get yuca, cassava, you know what I mean? It's a root. And, you know, normally they last like 9 months, but there, you know, we'll grow up like in 7 months. It's how good is the soil there. It's amazing, yeah.
Because Costa Rica makes the best what? You said to me the best pineapples in the world are from Costa Rica.
Yeah. Costa Rica's a number one in quality, you know, number one. It's how we can compete, you know, with Brazil. Brazil is number one in quantity, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's why they make a number one for us. And, you know, pineapples originally from Hawaii, you know, but we have the best quality.
Now, who makes the money? I know this isn't a black and white question, but who makes the money from the tourism, which is the number one industry or one of them in Costa Rica? Is it Costa Ricans that make the money from tourism, or is it foreigners?
You know, the biggest income in Costa Rica is microchips, you know, like Intel in Costa Rica. But the thing about the tourism, like, you know, like around Fortuna, it's all Costa Rican people. On the beach and then the Pacific side, it's Americans, you know, half American, half Costa Rican, but people from a little bit everywhere. Yeah.
Very, mm-hmm. Very interesting. And does the tourism go year round, or how does it go with the rainy season?
Do you mean rainy season is the best time to go rafting, you know what I mean? Because it's high water and big volume of water. And things in Costa Rica, like, rain for a little bit, 2 hours, and stop and sunny all day long. That means it's good. You know what I mean? It's a good time to go, you know, to go to Costa Rica. It's not how people think it'll be raining for all month. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that. No.
I see. So now you've traveled around the world, all through the U.S. a million times. Why did you decide to return to Costa Rica and open a business?
Okay, my brother and me, my brother Warner, we used to, you know, travel everywhere, Indian, United States, South America, and we worked for so many rafting companies. And long time, you know, a few years ago, we decided to, like, do it by ourselves and start our, you know, our dream, follow our dream. And we went to Costa Rica, you know, and started the rafting company down there. And we're the only rafting company in Fortuna, Costa Rica. That's a classifier.
They don't classify it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're classified, and also we're the only rafting company that classify whitewater rafting in a Fortuna, Costa Rica, yeah.
Very interesting. Now, I want to ask you about the mission. So what do you do? Costa Rican Descents is in Fortuna, and people can walk up to your place, and then what do you offer them? I mean, whitewater rafting is your biggest feature, right?
Yeah. Our main thing is what I said before is like, you know, like show your people, you know, a great time, the river, you know, and this beautiful gore, you know, waterfalls and going on the river and show a good time with the Costa Rican guys. But also our main thing is to share our culture, you know what I mean, and don't want to think of the farm, the organic farm, and show them, like, you know what I mean, how to take care, you know, our planet, you know what I mean, and how, like, we can work organic and we can, you know, just like stop a little bit, you know what I mean, helping, you know what I mean, don't do like global warming, you know. That's our main thing, you know what I mean, is how we like, we're different than anybody else because we take our time and show people, you know what I mean, about how to do things better, you know what I mean, that, you know, grow organic and eat well and have a good time with families, you know what I mean. And that's our main thing, you know, and take them safe and hopefully they come back to Costa Rica again, you know.
Yes, Alberto, you guys definitely take your time when you're driving with trucks in the mountains. If you get stuck behind the truck, you can be behind him for 3 hours sometimes. you know, but that was very, very funny. And so what is your website, first of all, and toll-free number so that our listeners can write it down? This is if you're going to Costa Rica. This is the place that, you know, certainly I can, and Saxelby and Patrick Martins recommend this as just a great week. And Costa Rican Descents was the most fun day of that week. So tell us your website and toll-free number.
Okay, our website is www.costaricadescents.com. Okay, and our phone number is 011-8361. 99.
Well, we'll find it on the website and make it so for people who didn't see. Now, before I let you go, Alberto, tell me one thing that you would like American people to know about Costa Ricans and Costa Rica itself when they are planning a vacation.
I said to you, my friend, you guys hear me? I would like to see you guys come to Costa Rica. You mean if you want to have a good time with your family and your friends. It's a beautiful, lovely country. We don't have army. We love to have people there and share our culture with you guys, my friends. Come to Costa Rica, and you know, if you guys want to have a good time, come with Costa Rica Defense. And it's really lovely in Costa Rica, and we'd love to have you guys.
Thank you so much, Alberto. I really, really appreciate that. So best of luck with your business, and thanks for taking us around on the boat.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, have a good one.
Okay, bye, Alberto.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Well, Jack? Jack?
Yeah?
Are you going to Costa Rica Descents?
Yeah, I'm taking next week off.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a busy week this week, Jack. I'm a little worried about you.
Oh, it's just back to the old days. I'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. Back to the old days.
Shout out to Carlos and Joe. Their band, The Big Ups, has a featured showcase at South by Southwest in Texas. So
yes.
That's where they're headed.
Not just exciting for them, for us. I think that's exciting for the whole world.
The whole world, exactly. Get ready for them.
Anyway, I think that's real sweet that Jeff took time out of his day and Alberto was actually on the river when he spoke to us. And those guys are masters. They're in kayaks. They're going ahead of people to take pictures. They're catching people that fall into the water. I mean, those guys know that terrain like the back of their hand. And it's good to see them make the money off that business. And Alice Waters, Carlo Petrini, if you're in Costa Rica, that farm is just really touching, and it's a large farm, and I recommend everyone go. Well, thanks, Jack, and we'll get back down to American things in the next episodes, but thanks for all those calling cards today.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.